Harbin here with you, 20 minutes past the hour, and Joe Burns on the line with us. He is the author of a new book called Reviving the Strike, How Working People Can Regain Power and Transform America. He's an attorney, a former union leader. Revivingthestrike.org is the website. And to those of you listening here in Washington, D.C., Joe has a book signing tonight in D.C., 6:30 p.m., Busboys and Poets. That's the one at 14th and V, 2121 14th Street Northwest. There's two of them. This is the one out of 14th and V. And if you live in the town, you know what I'm talking about. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me on, Tom.
Great to have you with us. Joe, in your book, you say that the only way we can revive the labor movement is to revive a strike based on the traditional tactics of the labor movement. A, why is that the only way? B, what are those traditional tactics? And C, when did we abandon them? Or when did labor abandon them?
Okay, if you look at the labor movement from the 1930s through the 1970s, it was a powerful labor movement that was able to improve the lives of millions of working people, meatpackers, truckers, and so forth. And the reason it was able to do that is it had a really strong strike. And what I did in the book is I went back and looked at why is the strike so weak today, and why was it so powerful in decades past? And what I found is that the strike today is very different from the traditional strike. And there's two main differences. First of all, the strike of decades past, workers were able to use solidarity to act together to confront giant corporations. So you would have hundreds of thousands of workers striking at the same time, drawing strength in numbers. In contrast, today, because of changes in the law through judicial decisions, workers are forced to fight these very, very narrow battles, isolated and often one plant of a giant corporation. So that's one part of it. Mm-hmm. The second part of it is a strike was capable of stopping production. All labor economists from the period would say that a strike has to be able to stop the employer from continuing production. Otherwise, the only one that's hurting is the workers who are on strike.
Right.
So those are the two key differences.
Okay. And you point out in 1952, there were 470 major strikes, more than 1,000 people, involving 2.7 million workers. By contrast, in 2008, only 15 major work stoppages involving 72,000 workers. Might this be because in 1952, about 30% of the workforce was unionized, and today the private workforce unionization level is around 6.5-7%?
Yeah, clearly, part of the decline of unionization or of strikes is
the success of Reagan's war against working people that he kicked off by busting Petco.
Yeah, precisely. But on the other hand, the question is, what will it take to revive union power?
Right.
And I think if you look through union history, unions have been able to grow when they're strong, when they're able to strike, when they're able to offer improvements to workers' lives. So rather than saying that the decline of the strike is due to, you know, less union members, I say less union members is due to us not having a strike which can improve people's lives.
How would you respond to those who suggest, and you know, I'm not asserting this, but it seems viable to me as a hypothesis, that whereas a strike may work in Europe because most European countries have a lot of media diversity because they enforce antitrust laws, and many of them have national media that are independent of the government, like BBC, that actually tell the news, whereas here in the United States, our news is controlled by a small handful of companies that very selectively tell us what we're being told, and a very small handful of pundits who shape our opinions, that in Europe, when real strikes happen and they shut down the subways and they shut down the buses and they shut down, you know, it really shut down stuff, the people by and large react to that like, hey, there's something wrong. We need to pay attention. What's the government up to now? Whereas here in the United States, if a genuine shutdown were to happen, you've got Fox, you've got, you know, 1,000 right-wing radio shows and stations. You've got this whole right-wing blogosphere. I mean, they literally have rewritten large parts of Wikipedia, rewritten our history. The right-wingers have such control over the media machine in this country that they come out when a strike happens and go, oh, these people hate you because they're making life inconvenient for you. And people somehow buy into that, that strikes here in the United States because of the media landscape, in large part because of Supreme Court decisions, And also because of Reagan stopping the enforcement of the Sherman Act in 82, the media landscape here is so different that strikes wouldn't work here.
Oh, you're absolutely correct in terms of the difficulties that unions face with this corporate media. Every strike that I've been involved in, you've had these mischaracterizations of the strikers. You have them parroting the company's line about how much strikers are or how much workers are being paid. And so it's very difficult. On the other hand, you know, it's not exactly new for the labor movement to be up against a hostile media and the government.
Oh, yeah, back in the 30s, they used to shoot them.
Yeah. So, precisely. I mean, the trade union movement has always faced adversity, and we're going to because we're fighting to
change. So your bottom line here is to say, as I've been saying, perhaps with some futility to President Obama, you know, stand up and start punching. That the labor union, the labor movement needs to do the same thing rather than just these little 2 and 3 day strikes and small actions and gee, we'd like and let's have a march on downtown.
There's only one thing corporate America understands, and that's power. And we need to start exercising our power in numbers and our power in strength on the picket line.
And have there been any examples in the last 30 years when that actually worked?
Yeah, there's been a number of examples. I think most recently was in 2008, workers at Republic Windows in Chicago occupied their plant, and they did it strategically, and they were smart about their message, but they were able to focus the attention of the entire nation on the fact that this employer refused to give them severance pay.
Hmm. Yeah, that was remarkable, and it was a good story. Joe Burns, his book, Reviving the Strike. I got different things on different pieces of paper here. Yeah, Reviving the Strike, How Working People Can Regain Power and Transform America, tonight at Bus Boys and Poets, the one on 14th and V here in D.C. at 6:30. Joe, good luck.
All right, thanks for having me on.
And revivingthestrike.org, of course, is Joe's website for Joe Burns. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.